Hey, I'm so excited that you finally could make it to my house. I mean, we've been waiting for this day for a long time. This is going to be great. I've got it all planned out. I'm going to make a pot of coffee, okay? And then Joshua just made a coconut cream pie. They are my favorite. It's going to be delicious. You know, it's pretty cold out here. I just didn't realize 26 degrees would be this cold, but it's cold. Oh, you know, I never carry a house key. It's just my thing. Typically, I just wait for Joshua to show up. I really thought he'd be here waiting on us, but he's not. So, you know, sometimes if he's not here, I just do jumping jacks to get warm. You know, maybe you can move around a little bit. Here, how about you take my gloves? Ooh, we might be here for a while. And I bet it's going to be okay, you know. Yeah, how's your morning going? You doing good? Oh, okay.
Good morning and welcome to Trailhead Church. Woo! Glory to God. We are talking about the name of Jesus this morning. Welcome. I am Anna Gresham, married to this man right here, the pastor of Trailhead Church, and I am thrilled to be ministering to you all this morning on the name of Jesus. You know, that video was pretty ridiculous. Actually, Joshua was like, do you want me to make a coconut cream pie so you can give it out to someone in the audience? And I was like, all right, that's a step too far, you know? I know, y'all, okay, all right, right, right. Why would I invite you all over to my house and not have a house key to get in? It just simply makes no sense. You know what's really interesting? After I filmed that video, I realized that on both of my car keychains, I had no house key. And I was like, all right, Anna, you got to get it together, okay? Like, what in the world? Why do you not have a house key on your keychains? This morning, we're talking about the name of Jesus. And here's the problem. The problem is that we have a group of believers. We have Christians walking around with the key, and they're not using it. We have believers walking around with the authority, with the power, with the name that is above all names. And here they are standing on the outside doing jumping jacks, trying to get warm, waiting for someone to let them in. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus, that's how we have access to the heart of the Father. Jesus has given you the key. You know what's so beautiful about this is that when you recognize the authority that you've been given in Jesus' name, then you recognize that you're able to sit at the Father's table, that every spiritual blessing that he has for you, it's been given to you through the name of Jesus. Let's start off here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. He says, I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and the grave. That Jesus is alive, and that he holds the keys of death and the grave. Then he goes on to say in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Why? Because we are united with Christ Jesus. So we have Jesus who holds the keys. Then we read that we have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Why? Because we have been united with Christ Jesus. We have been united with Jesus, King of kings and Lord over all. Man, you need to just let that sink inside your heart this morning. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about whenever we signed the papers, when we purchased our home on signing day. And I remember how excited I was to get this house key. Because up until that point, I would drive to our house and I would just look through the windows like a creeper. I mean, the house was empty. Have y'all ever done that before? If you're house hunting and you realize that no one is in the home, so you're like, oh, I'm gonna look through the front door. I'm gonna look through the windows. I would actually like jiggle the doorknob hoping that I could get in, you know? Like, I'm that person. I know it's a step too far. It's okay. Some of y'all been doing that too. Don't even act like you're not. But it wasn't until I paid for the house, until we signed those papers, until we paid for that home, did we get the key. Did you know that Jesus already paid for it all? He paid for it all. He paid for your healing. He paid for the pain. He paid for the shame. He paid for the condemnation. He paid for that torment and suffering. He paid for that fear. He paid for it all. Paid for it all. Paid in full. And he says, and I have given you authority to use my name. So in that problem, why is it that some of us are not using the name of Jesus? Because listen, this should be in our daily walk. This is day to day. This is just what your life looks like. Well, I've got three things I want to touch on first before we get into the authority of Jesus' name. But it could be because of this. Well, as a child of God, you don't know which family you belong to. And this is where you have to understand that as a child of God, you belong to the family of God. As a child of God, you belong to God's family. You see, in Acts chapter, we'll get to those scriptures in a second, but in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That only through the name of Jesus can you receive salvation. It's only through his name. And that whenever you receive salvation through the name of Jesus, then you become a part of God's family. You become a child of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, you can look these scriptures up on your own, but I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. It says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You say, wait, how did I get to do that? Whenever you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is who you are. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling, this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. That you've been grafted into the family of God, that you're no longer a foreigner, you're no longer on the outside looking in. Hallelujah. You are a part of God's family. Some of you, you grew up in not a great household, in a dysfunctional family. And for you, this concept just seems foreign. You think, how can this be? It was bought for you by the precious blood of Jesus. It's just how much God loves you. Maybe possibly you've been standing on the outside looking in because You just don't realize that you've been brought out from Satan under Satan's dominion. As a child of God, Satan has no dominion over you. He has no authority over your life. This is simply who you are. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That he has brought you out of darkness and has brought you into the light. Hallelujah. Satan has no authority over your household any longer. He has no authority over your mind any longer. As a matter of fact, you've been given the mind of Christ. He has no authority over your emotions unless you give him dominion and authority. You see, he can't take anything unless you give it to him. He has no power, no authority over you. We've got to recognize that this is who we are as children of God, being a part of God's family, that God is our Heavenly Father, and it's his authority and his rule of whom we're under. That I submit to him. I don't submit to Satan. I don't submit to his lies, to his schemes, to what he's saying about my marriage or my children. No, no, no. I submit my life to the authority of God. Satan, you have no hold over me. Woo! You know what? That's a stomp in the devil's face this morning. Boom, boom, boom. That's why I wore these shoes. All right, let's keep going. As a child of God, you are no longer an outsider. Now, come on, somebody. You are no longer an outsider. You don't have to look through the windows any longer. This isn't who you are. What does the enemy try to do? He tries to devalue who you are in the body of Christ. He lies. That's what he can only lie. There's no truth found in him. So he comes in and he tries to tell you who you aren't, who you can't be, how unloved you are, and what you can't do. But he is the accuser of the brethren. How do we overcome the accuser of the brethren? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Jesus already overcame him. Now our job is to testify of the power of God in our life. That whenever the enemy tries to come in and says, you know what, you're an outsider. You're just looking in all the time. Nobody loves you. Nobody wants you. Why do you even go to that church? They don't want you there. You say, devil, you're a dirty, filthy liar. I am a child of God and I belong to God's family. You have no dominion over me. I'm no longer an outsider. As a matter of fact, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 19, for you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value, but it was paid with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. You were paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to read Ephesians 2, verse 4 through 6, because we need to. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. You're no longer an outsider. You're no longer an outcast. You've been ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus and you belong to the family of God. But it's only by the name of Jesus in which you receive this. There's no other name. Hallelujah. And what comes through that? Well, we read every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. So you're telling me not only am I seated in heavenly places, but then I'm able to receive every spiritual blessing. That's right. That's why in Psalm 23, he says that he prepared for us a table in the presence of our enemies. It's a banqueting table. Glory to God. That God has prepared for you. And he's calling us out, and it can only come through the name of Jesus. So what do we do with the name of Jesus? Because I'm going to be honest, a lot of people are using the name wrong. It's interesting how the world, whenever they're upset or they're going through something or they're mad, what do they like to call out? They'll call it out in all the wrong ways. But we've been given a name that's full of power, a name that is above every name. And we need to use the name of Jesus. Some of you ask, okay, why do we pray in the name of Jesus? Let's start right there before we get into the authority. Because first we need to understand or how we have authority over the enemy. But first we need to understand that in our prayer life that we've been given authority in Jesus' name. That Jesus is your mediator. That he is the intercessor, the advocate. He stands between us and the Father. The name of Jesus is the access to the heart of the Heavenly Father. That's why we pray to our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. In John chapter 16, verses 20 through 24, this is Jesus speaking. And this is he made this promise before he went to Calvary. He said, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. But I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. And the Amplified, that says, ask and keep on asking that your joy may be complete and your joy may be full. So Jesus said up until this point, the disciples weren't praying to the Father in Jesus' name. No, he said, but you're going to, because let me tell you what's going to take place. He said, I'm going to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and I'm going to go down and defeat the enemy. Then I'm going to be seated because I am the name that's above every name. So you're going to come and you're going to pray to the Father through the name of Jesus. And I'm giving you authority that when you pray in my name, it will be done for you. Why? So that you can have, just be full of joy. Some of us were praying and we're like, in Jesus' name, amen. And then we're like, oh, it'll never happen. Well, that's not what Jesus just said to do. He said, no, we go to the Father in his name. And then he said, we're to have abundant joy. Why? Because Jesus is the name above every name. Because when we pray to the Father, you've got to recognize the authority that just took place. He said, ask and it shall be given to you. What's your prayer life look like? This is an all day, every day thing. When you're praying over your job. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I thank you, Lord, that today is going to be a great day. And I receive that in my workplace. And God, you're going to help me to minister to this person. Lord, I pray for boldness in the name of Jesus. And then you got a smile on your face because you expect for God to do something in your life. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for my marriage. Lord, I thank you. You know what? Joshua and I, we had an argument last night. We really didn't. But this is an example. Father God, I thank you, Lord. He's like, no, we didn't. Lord, I thank you that you are helping me to love him as Christ so loves the church. And Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that if there's anything that I need to see where I missed it, you help me, Father. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. Father, Lord, I thank you. I plead the blood of Jesus over my children. Lord, I thank you right now as my kids go to school that you send ministering angels charge over them to keep them and watch over them in all their ways. I receive it done in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you are blessing my household. I thank you, Father God, that you said in your word that you rebuke the devourer, and I'm a tither. And Lord, you rebuke the devourer, and you open up the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on my home. In the name of Jesus, I receive it. Woo! Then what takes place after that? You start to rejoice. Why? Because you know the authority. You recognize you're not on the outside looking in. You're a part of God's family. You're seated in the heavenly realms, that all of these spiritual blessings belong to you. Through who? Not because of what you did or how good you are. No, it's by the precious blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. This will change your prayer life. You're going to start to see your prayers get answered. Some of you have been wondering, why is that? Well, because you just don't understand the authority that you've been given. Hallelujah. Walking around defeated. Walking around just not, you know, I'm just going to wait till my husband gets here. He'll let us in a couple of hours. No, you don't have to do that any longer, do you? No, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Using the name of Jesus, we've been given authority over the enemy. Let's go to John. Here we go. Chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. This is knowing your spiritual authority. The Greek word for the word ask there is actually I ask, I request, I petition, I demand. Woo, that changes things, doesn't it? That's authority. I demand. You've got to know the authority that's been given to you. This is your position as a child of God. In Mark chapter 16, verses 17 through 18, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the authority that we've been given. The name of Jesus, and it belongs to us. The early church, they were talking about it all the time. This is what they were doing everywhere they went, using the name of Jesus. This past week, I'm talking to my mom on the phone. She was like, I need a new roof. And I'm believing God in Jesus' name for the best quote. And I said, well, in the name of Jesus, I'm in agreement. It's just a part of your conversation. What do your conversations look like? Because I know this year, 2019, some of y'all have got some big dreams, some big visions. You've got some things that you're believing God for this year, and you better know the authority of what you have in Christ Jesus, because it's only through the name of Jesus that you receive every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah. And begin to walk in this. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20, and Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That word authority there in the Greek, you guys, this is good. This is delegated power. It's what this means. It means that the authority, this is delegated power that our Heavenly Father gave to Jesus that he delegated to us. Delegated. Because who gave Jesus his authority? Well, God did. In John 17, 1 through 2, after saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you, for you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. So Jesus is saying, all right, Lord, the authority that you have given me, I now delegate to the church, to the body of Christ. That authority, that same power. That's resurrection power. That same resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead has now been delegated and given to you. Woo! A few years ago, our third little boy, Colton, he had fallen off of a bed, hit the corner of a Lego table, and had a depressed skull fracture right here on the backside of his head. And it looked bad. I look at him, he's moaning, he's kind of in and out, and I was giving Carly a bath, and I was like, everybody get in the van. Josh wasn't home, and it was one of those moments where you realize, okay, we're gonna fly to that emergency room. But when he first came in, and I saw that place on his head, immediately, right out of my spirit, I just said, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Father God, I thank you in Jesus' name that this little head is healed and whole. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over this. And Lord, I thank you, no weapon formed against him shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. Have you ever been in a place where all you can say is the name of Jesus? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We go in, they get us right in because they realize that, you know, this is serious. They do a CT scan. They can't take care of it at Alamance Regional, so we get in to the ambulance. The nicest workers were in there. We go to Duke. Praise God, they just swarmed in like a SWAT team. It was awesome to watch. And the entire time, just right on the inside of my spirit, Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I thank you that you have healed my little boy. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. At one point during the night, one of the doctors, one of the neurosurgeons came in, pediatric neurosurgeon, he said, I believe that we're going to have to do surgery. Right in my spirit, the Holy Spirit said he will not have surgery. And I looked at him, I said, okay. I said, I don't believe he's going to have surgery. He said, well, no, I really do think he will. I said, okay. You know, that entire evening while we were there, the Lord said, Anna, I don't want you to look at it. I just want you to speak my name. Because this is the authority that we've been given, that when we go through really tough things, that it's the name of Jesus that brings us peace. It's the name of Jesus that brings us hope, that there's power in Jesus' name, that authority to speak to my little boy's head and call it healed, even when it doesn't look like it. That's the power and the authority we have in the name of Jesus. To speak to cancer, that Jesus is the big C and cancer is the little C, and cancer must bow to the name of Jesus. The depression must bow to the name of Jesus. That spiritual lethargy where you're just feeling out of it has to bow to the name of Jesus. You've been delegated that power, delegated that authority. And God wants us to use it and walk in it. Why? So that our joy might be full, a complete and abundant joy. Hallelujah. So I just begin to speak out the name of Jesus. Well, the next morning, we're still there, and the main pediatric neurosurgeon there at Duke, he comes in and he said, listen, he goes, I'm gonna give his head a chance. He goes, we're not gonna do surgery. I'm gonna give it 1 month and see what's gonna take place in a month of the healing that can just take place with his blood pumping and just let his little body heal. And I said, all right, I can hook up with that. And over that month, and I'm not going to lie, you know what? Spirit of fear would try to rise up. Within 2 days, Cohen stepped on Colton's head. And I was like, oh, like what in the world, you know? Just because you use the name of Jesus doesn't mean the enemy's still not going to try to come and cause confusion or chaos. You got to know the word that the Lord's been given to you. And you got to hold on to that word. This is where we get in. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Not in heaven, in this world. As Jesus is, so are you in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. This is where, in that moment where fear tries to rise up, you need to get into the word of God. And you've got to build your faith. In Romans 10:17, it says, this is in the Amplified. So then faith comes from hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. So whenever that spirit of fear would try to rise up, I would say, you know what? I know that I've been given authority in the name of Jesus, and that Satan has no dominion over me. So spirit of fear, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. The word of the Lord that he gave me was that my child would not have to have surgery, and that, Lord, you are healing his little head in the name of Jesus. You got to take authority over that spirit of fear. Why? Because if you allow it to come in, you're giving it rule and dominion over your life, and you're not submitted under the authority of God. You don't have to live on the outside any longer. Glory to God. You've been given the key, and his name is Jesus. We went back in a month, had another CT scan. And I go in there, and I'm just praising the Lord. We're having fun. We're rejoicing in the Lord. We're riding that elevator like 20 times while we're waiting. Okay? We go in, and the pediatric neurosurgeon, he's so nice, he said, you know, they sent me the images, and they said, no change. He goes, but I need to show you. He goes, I actually went back to them and said, I don't know what you're seeing, but I have a completely different image. And he looked at me, he said, I know that you have been praying. And I said, woo, buddy, you know I have. He said, I want you to look at this. And this is what it had looked like. It did. It had looked like this. Within a month's time, it had went all the way to, it was barely a hairline. He said, only God can do that. I said, only God. Only God. That's the power of God. You have authority over that addiction in your life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, you bind that addiction and command it to go, and you begin to praise God that it's gone. In the name of Jesus, you have been given authority. Why? Because Jesus has all authority on heaven, on earth, and everything under the earth. Jesus has been given authority over it all. Hallelujah. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. And whatever you do or say, we are to do it as a representative of Jesus Christ. When you're cleaning your house, I don't really like to clean my home. You better believe I got to call on the name of Jesus to help me. Josh is speaking it over me too. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, you help my wife. She wants to make our bed every day. Whenever you're going and you're taking your kids to school, when you're going to work, when you're in the middle of a test, wherever it is, whenever you're in a trial or a tribulation, whenever you're in a moment of praise and worship, we do it all in the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 3, I want you to read Acts chapter 3 and 4 this week, but we're going to touch on it just briefly before we close out this morning. Peter and John, they went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, there's a lame man from birth that was being carried in. We find out later in Acts chapter 4 that this man was over 40 years old, and that each day he had been put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from people. When he saw Peter and John, he asked them for some money, but Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. And the lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the hand and helped him up. And as he did, his feet and his ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. And he jumped up, walking and leaping, giving praise and glory to God. You see, God will use what's in your pocket, but he's more concerned about what's in your hearts. So here is this man. He's been carried in. I want you to think about this man's position. This is bound by chains, carried to this gate over 40 years, just begging people for money. And what happens under the authority of someone who knows the name of Jesus? Peter says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. But he doesn't stop there, does he? No, Peter knew the authority, because then faith is an action. He then reached his hand out, grabbed that man, and when he grabbed him and pulled him up, that's when his ankles regained strength. You see, many of us, we're using the name of Jesus, but we don't really believe it because we're not willing to reach out and grab and act in faith. And I'm going to tell you right now that some of you, you've been in a stuck place. You've been in a place where you just feel like it's a standstill, and it's time to move. You've been speaking out the name of Jesus. It's time to take a step of faith and reach out and grab somebody. Reach out, speak to that mountain, begin to praise, begin to worship. Some of y'all need to have a Holy Ghost praise party in your house. Get your kids, get your spouse. Why? Because you've been living under this darkness and this dark cloud. You're like that man just sitting there waiting, not realizing that God has something greater for your marriage, for your family, for your children, for your workplace. It's time to rise up and use the name of Jesus. If you continue reading, this story's awesome. They want to arrest him. Why? Because of the name of Jesus. They recognize, they even said, these are those unlearned men. They've been with Jesus. Remember, that's how you build your faith up, hearing the words of Jesus. That's how you're able to step out in boldness and authority. And then I love this. In Acts chapter 4, let me go there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Anyone ever sing that song? Here we go. Acts chapter 4 in verse 33. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And with great power, it says that they were continuously talking about the name of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. His favor, his goodwill. They were continuously talking. Through that whole process, this lame man gets healed. Over 5,000 people get saved. The people let them go because they saw the miracle. They realized it. And Peter and John, they said, listen, we're not going to submit under your authority. No, we only submit under God's authority. We don't care what you think about us. We will only speak the name of Jesus. Then they went to pray for boldness, and the Holy Spirit shook the place and gave them boldness. Then they began to minister. Then they began to share bread. Then people were selling homes. They were making sure the church was taken care of. They were continuously talking about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And because of that, the church grew. This is what we're called to do, to use the name of Jesus, the authority that's been given to us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Worship team, get on up here.